Today in the house, someone who has taught me to cook, guys. I made my first pizza and focaccia with this girl. Her carrot cake has become our number one dessert for any kind of celebration. Her name is Zane Grēviņa. And in Latvia, she's known as Našķoties Zane.
It's something about finger-licking, good, delicious food that you can indulge, whether you're keto or whether you're ballerina or, I don't know, home cook or children or grandma. There's always place to taste something good. You don't have to eat all cake by yourself, but you can get this one bite that is so good. So good, and you can taste it, you can eat it, and it's about celebrating simple things and just eat delicious and allow yourself to eat.
That is exactly how her Instagram account makes me feel every time I see it. So, so tasty, and I just want to našķoties all the time. Zane's books are not an ordinary recipe books. It is a journey to a friend's kitchen, where she reassures you that you can cook. Her trustworthy colleague Susurs, a Jack Russell who loves carrots, is needless to say, accompanies her in the kitchen adventures and everywhere else. On this episode, we talked about when do the best ideas come to Zane's mind, how does she do her recipes so doable for everyone, what's her secret ingredient for the recipe of life, and what's the tastiest country she has been so far?
3, 2, 1. Thank you very much for joining this conversation and letting me to see what kind of human being you are through what you do. Thanks to you, I'm sure I can cook, and I can do it with such an ease. And the carrot cake is the top cake in our family. We do it on all the celebrations.
That's the best compliment I can get. My best compliments are not about my hair or my eye color or something about my dresses or shoes, but about recipes I create. And if I can hear those words that I can inspire someone to cook or to try something, that's the best thing I can hear.
What I want to start with is to, through your doings, that you're author of two One More Is Coming books. You are TV show host. You are an online shop owner. I love the sense of humor that you put in everything you do. I think this is also what have connected me to your profile. There are plenty of cooking profiles all over, you know. Nowadays, it's so easy to find whatever we want. But what we connect to really is a part of the beauty, how you serve and how you present the food. It's the person itself. And I find you very humble, very patiesa. I don't think in English there is this word that can describe this patiesa word, but it's like very yourself, yeah. How you are. This is what I see. And also the sense of humor, as I've mentioned, plus Susurs. Susurs is your colleague that is...
Poor Susurs.
Just making it all even more tasty.
I don't like to compliment actually myself, but I'm so honored that you're saying the things I would like others to think about me.
Zane, cooking in the kitchen is requiring a lot of recipes and experiments, but what is your recipe for life, for successful life?
I don't know whether there's one thing or one aspect what describes successfulness in a person's life. You can be successful in your relationship, you can be successful in finances, you can be successful in your outer appearance, or I don't know what really successful life is for everybody. For me, it's just doing what I really enjoy, having food on my table that I can eat and I'm not starving. I have warm place to come home, and I have really warm relationship with my friends, with my closest relatives, and everything's kind of in balance. That's how I see successful life. There are sometimes, for example, these 2 months before where I barely found balance between work and other things in my life because we are finishing our third book. But most of the time, that's my success of my life. I have pretty much all those things in balance, and I have those things which I really need. I actually don't need very much. That's why maybe it's so simple for me. But yes, I don't know. Just to keep my own balance. That's my success of my life. For others, I really don't know.
I really like what you said about simplicity, because I also believe that beauty is in simplicity and in balance. If we have balanced all areas of our life, thank you for sharing that. When people meet you, what are those things that they get to know about you and they get surprised? Oh, really? This is something?
A lot of people don't know that I'm 30 years old. I don't know. Maybe I know. I have braces for about 4 or 5 years. Mostly I look like 16 years old or something. And a lot of people are surprised when I say, yes, I'm 30. I crossed that border. I'm 30 now. And a lot of people are surprised. Yes. Oh, really? I thought you're 24 or maybe maximum 25. But oh, you're a grown up.
And you've said before that the best compliment you can get is compliment about your inspiration of cooking and all the recipes. Is there any other area in your life that you remember still that compliment that you've got? And it doesn't have to be about looks or anything, but it still kind of stayed in your heart.
One of the best compliments after carrot cakes and other things in kitchen, I guess it's so good to hear when people say to me that, oh, Zan, actually you are the same person in life as in Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. I didn't know that it's a thing that you really are as same person as I can see there when I'm meeting you in person. You're the same person. Oh, who knew? Who knew? And I guess that's really big compliment for me, because most of the time we see those pretty pictures and perfect lives that we want to create it in our own life, and maybe sometimes we just lose that reality which is here in our lives and there on social media. But when someone says to me that, oh, Zana, yes, I can see you are the same person here and there, then I know that, oh, nice to know. I haven't shifted my focus from reality to somewhere else.
I find it very, very beautiful compliment, because nowadays when you go to social, you just get depressed because everything seems so perfect. And then you try to look at your life and see like, okay, what do I do wrong? Mm-hmm. But you don't do nothing wrong. It's everybody's choice how we want to show our life on social media. So it's always very refreshing to see somebody who is raw and who is authentic on social media and not afraid to be ourselves, because, you know, it's becoming this kind of perception of perfectionism that is very unhealthy. I find it.
I agree.
You seem to have a perfect job for yourself that you have found for yourself, discovered in yourself. It's a dream of many people to find their why and to do something that they really, truly enjoy. I'm on my way to that as well currently. And I would like to ask you, what one lesson that your job has taught you and you think that everyone should learn at some point in their life?
One lesson for everyone that everyone should learn definitely is that there's not such a term that enough cheese on your plate. There's never a situation when there's enough cheese. That's for everyone. But besides jokes, there's again this thing for everyone. There's nothing, I guess. There are things for individual person, and there's no one such thing for everyone. There are so many master classes and courses and online courses that teach people to be others and how to be others and how to act like others and how to think like others. Maybe the one thing I would recommend to think about, not to do, maybe just think about, that we could not try to be others. We could try to hear ourselves more than others, learn from our experiences more than others.
One thing that you said resonated so much with me is to listen to ourselves, because it's easier to look around and see, they are doing it that way, and this person is doing it that way, so maybe it also worked for me. And kind of putting responsibility on other people.
Yes.
If it doesn't work, but you know, that person told me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of easier to look at others rather than listen to ourselves, because in so much noise around us, social, whatever area we are living in our life, whatever time we are living in our life. So how do you find time or way to listen to yourself and to hear that inner voice?
Oh, honey, I go to pool. I go to pool. That's one of the best time in my day. I go to pool. Today I was there from 7:15 to 8 o'clock. I swim around 45 minutes. There is no music, just water, no people to talk, and you are with your own thoughts. And in 45 minutes, you can hear yourself clearly. and yes, sometimes I ride with my bike without earphones. And these are those moments when I can think. There are no podcasts, because I really love to listen to different radios and podcasts and other things. But when you don't do other things, like you don't listen to anything or don't read anything, doing something, you can think a lot of good thoughts and listen to yourself.
That's true.
That's how I found time. I find time. I wake up really early. I guess it's really early. 6 is pretty early for me.
It is early, yeah. And I really agree with you about finding this time without anything in your ears or in your surroundings to at least, 1 hour, 45 minutes, it's a really luxury, a lot of time. But even if we do it just for a few minutes a day here and there, that's all the ideas to me. They come when I have space in my mind out of all the noises that we have around.
I completely agree. Every good idea that came to my mind has been in places like in park without earphones, or in pool, or somewhere near to sea when I'm completely free and free to think and free to be, just to be.
You mentioned you like to listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. What is one of your favorite podcasts that you listen?
There are so many, actually. I actually listen different radio programs also as podcasts. I really enjoy, like, there's Science Versus. It's from America. It's scientifically based podcast about different topics. I also like Kultūras Rondo, which is actually a program in Latvian radio. Also, Cilvēki Auda, where you can meet, like you are talking to these inspirational people. There are different podcasts. Actually, I'm listening to them a lot. Sometimes I think too many, but okay.
When you're home, not cooking, not doing your work, what is your favorite activity?
At home, I really like stretching exercises. This is like my guilty pleasure. I can just lay on the floor for an hour and stretch myself. Sometimes I really enjoy looking at me and my husband, we call them trash shows. It's these are those bingeable shows on Netflix. I really enjoy cooking when I'm not at work. When I cook for my family, most of the time I don't show it to others. One of my favorite things to do on Saturday mornings is I just wake up early and I cook. And I cook for myself, for my family, for friends, and I don't tell it to anyone. I'm just doing my thing, and I can call cooking my hobby.
That's beautiful when you have your work and your hobby so aligned that you don't actually need to distinguish job from your life. And if you choose to eat somewhere else, what do you then give priority to? What's your favorite food not cooked by you?
I'm always joking that I really love, I call it sveshedians, or I don't know, I love different meatballs, kotletes, not cooked by myself, but cooked by my friends or my mother. I enjoy every food I can get in good company. I can make most of it. If I can taste something that is cooked by others, it's already a celebration because most of the time I eat my own cooked food. So when there's someone who has cooked for me, that's I really enjoy it. I don't prefer different cuisines. I don't prefer one special cuisine. I like Italian food, of course. It's pretty similar to ours, our taste buds, and Asian cuisine. But I really like Swiss Indians.
somebody else's food.
Yeah.
What I hear from you is that good company is the best spice on the meal if you have a good company.
Completely.
What is the tastiest country you've been so far?
I guess it's Georgia. We went there 3 years ago with my husband. We went to different local people's home. We went to different homes and we sat at a table where families sit on their daily life. We enjoyed food together with them. Cheese, a lot of bread, different meat. I'm Latvian. I understand these tasties, and I really enjoyed food there.
And when you travel abroad and somebody asks you, what's the most typical food in Latvia? When we go to Latvia, what should we try? What's your answer?
Of course, that pink soup with beets. that's one thing. But I really, really love pickled herring with dill, cottage cheese, and freshly harvested potatoes in autumn. It's so simple, but it's so good.
And sour cream. I really agree with you about Georgia. I also like Portuguese cuisine. I find it very
versatile.
That was
my second place to go, like Portugal. Yes.
From north to south, you can really experience the whole journey of cuisine from all tastes.
I completely this is agree. Yes, because and 2 years we went to Portugal with my husband, and the next year we went to Portugal with my friends just to stay there for about a week and just enjoy every kind of seafood. Freshly bought from market, we grilled, we went to restaurants, just and then go come back to Latvia and you can, I don't know, come back to your pork.
Yeah, this is one thing that my husband is Brazilian and he's so surprised that we eat so much pork. And this is one meat that it's his least favorite one. But there's variety of food so amazing in Portugal. Tell me about the situation in your life that touched your heart, that you really felt like, wow, this is something that I never maybe thought about before. And it, in a way, maybe even changed your life or changed the way you look at certain things.
There was a time, there are a lot of touching moments in my life because I'm pretty easily touched by so many things and like in my life. But there was one time when one woman wrote me a letter saying that she's like 35 years old and she, her mother and her granny always have said that she really can't cook. And then she wrote me first time she cooked crepes, like pancakes. And she told me that those crepes turned out great. And now she's on the floor, on the kitchen floor, like crying and saying to me that, yes, Zane, all my life I thought that I really can't do anything in kitchen. I can't touch anything because I will ruin everything. And now this is the first time in my 35-year-old life I've cooked something and it turned out great. Zane, thank you. You changed my life. And in that time I thought, yes, wow. It's not only recipe. It's not only like explanation how to cook it properly. It's something else. You can give person to chance to, I don't know, feel better, do things better, not see himself or herself as a failure, maybe, sometimes, because you can cook. It's not a science. Actually, it is a bit.
But
it's a science. We can do it, and we can do it together. And yeah, that was really touching.
Yeah, I kind of heard a little bit myself in this answer. I mean, that woman of 35 that that cooked something and it ended up well, because, and you will tell me, how do you make all these recipes really doable? And it's not like exceptional, just one recipe. Your crepes are our family's favorite breakfast because they just, you cannot screw them up. I don't know how. You cannot just screw them up. And it also looks with every recipe from your book, and it's true, I speak from my heart, that they always succeed. Focaccia. How can I,
Yeast.
Yeast. Anything with this ingredient for me was big taboo before. I saw my grandmother doing it. She tried to teach me, never worked out. And then I was pregnant 2 years ago. It was COVID. And I was so bored out of my mind. What do? And food is really something that makes us happy. So I opened that book and I said, okay, today, or maybe there was not even book yet. I don't remember, where I just did Instagram. And I said, I'm going to just try it. And if I fail, I just throw it to the bin and I do something else. I go to, I order it online. And that thing, it grew and I made it and it was tasty. And like, how do you come up, or how do you make these recipes in a simple way that are manageable to do for every person?
I really respect the person that will probably read my recipes, probably will buy every ingredient for that recipe. And I try to write my recipes like for everyone to understand. For example, I know that for some recipes it's the best to put the pan on the top of the oven, because sometimes it's just better to do that way. It's just one small thing, but if I know that it's better to put that tray on the top of the oven, I will just write it. And I started to write my recipes actually 5-6 years ago for my friends. And that's how I write the recipes for my friends, because they called me so many times at time when I went to bed. asking, Zana, what should I do now? Zan, here's that cake, like cheesecake, and I guess it's too wobbly. Can I take it out of the oven? Or something. That's why all those questions mainly are answered in recipe already. So no one's calling me. Not all the time, but sometimes. And I really try to explain it as best as I can.
And it really feels like you have a friend in the kitchen in a form of book, because sometimes it even makes me smile. Like, you have to put this uzatsi. I don't even know how to explain it. Uzatsi. And I'm like, okay, let's do it like this. on your feel. And it's like, okay, it's like freedoming. I like to count grams, flour, everything grams. And I freak out if there is a bit more. So I really try to be very precise. But it's also very freedoming. Then you say, okay, put it as you feel, or put it on the end of the spoon. And the spoon can be different sizes. And in the beginning, I was a little bit uneasy with these kind of instructions. Yeah. But with the time I go, it really gives freedom of experiment. And experimenting in the kitchen opens other inspirational sides in your personality, I think. Mm. And this is what is amazing. And thank you very much for that, and not stopping and writing more and more books. And I'm wondering, what else are you coming up with? Because from what I see, you are never ending train that always moves, and it's
this
amazing.
This is crazy. This third book is so crazy. This is just, this time I really let myself to write, not stopping me in some like comments or something. I really enjoyed the process because I know that there's a TikTok sound. Sometimes I like to just to quote TikTok because I'm in my 30s and I can. And no one can stop me. And that this time I really thought, no one can stop me. I really can. I really can write as I really feel. And that's mainly the most thing I'm most proud in this book. Okay. Let's sit on it. Let's wait for it.
Let's wait for it. And I'm sometimes really feel sorry for my foreign friends that they cannot understand Latvian and read your books, but they can read your website, or they can go on Instagram and translate your content there.
If you're going to cook something, then go just to Instagram or to blog.
And now I just had a crazy idea, and maybe a seed in your head. Have you ever thought on issuing a book in English?
We thought about it with my publisher of two books. We thought in that time maybe to release book in English or maybe in Russian. It was Michael, which language would publisher prefer, and we translated first book in e-format in Russian. There are so many times that people write to me and ask, Zane, you know, I've in my office I've translated about 15 of your recipes to my colleagues to English, and maybe you can translate all of your books like in English, and maybe someday, maybe I will plant the seed in my colleagues' minds also.
I think if I can put my 5 cents to this, especially Naštoties bērnībā, to lick your fingers, to eat the tasty in childhood, it would be such a wonderful story also about Latvian cuisine, how it progressed from late 80s till nowadays. And it can be as a, not just a recipe book, but as it is a very beautiful story for our foreign friends, because people are usually very interested and very keen to know about our country and about the food and about a little bit the taste of how it is to be growing in 90s and so on. So I think that would be a beautiful legacy to the world.
Yeah, that's inspiring me to push further that idea of translating books. So thank you.
Thank you
for encouragement.
Who, in your opinion, is a cool person?
I thought about it, and actually, I came to realization that I think the coolest persons I know, they don't think about themselves as cool, and that's the coolest thing, that you don't think about yourself as the best or the well-known, one of the greatest, but you are just you, and others can tell you that, oh, I guess you're cool. These people are coolest for me. For example, Samin Nostrat, there's that cook, she has a Netflix show, Salt, Fat, Heat, Acid. Have you heard of it? No? It's a wonderful show, and she's so humble and so simple person. And I think she's the coolest one of them all. I see. She's not thinking about it. Coolest people are those who don't think about themselves if they are cool, for me.
Thank you. That's beautifully said. And I think you're a very, very cool person, Zane.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now I challenge you, cool listener. Go to www.naskoties.com and try Zane's carrot cake recipe. Share this episode with a friend and join Unknown Cool People podcast on Instagram and follow for more cool people conversations. I see you next episode.